I wonder if they're trying to explain some of their doings. Let's keep going. Washington, Sunday. Major world climate changes are underway which will cause economic and political upheavals almost beyond comprehension, according to an internal report of the Central Intelligence Agency. The new climatic era brings a threat of famine and starvation to many areas of the world, the CIA report says. Furthermore, the change of climate is cooling some significant agricultural areas, causing drought in others. Now, last night we talked about man-made doing of this. Here is governmental explanation, which has a grain of truth in it. If, for example, there's a northern hemisphere drop of 1 degree Celsius, it would mean that India will have a major drought every 4 years and can only support 3/4 of its present population. The world reserve would have to supply 30 to 50 million tons of grain each year to prevent the death of 150 million Indians. Now, in the book of Revelation during the tribulation, there's talks of famine. You remember the horses that come? Earthquakes, third of mankind wiped out. The news article continued, the report, which was concerned with possible political and economic threats that the United States could expect from such drastic events, said that starvation and famine would lead to social unrest and global migrations of populations. You watch the news tonight and see the movement out of Nigeria? It's amazing the way the world can get upset over the white world, that is, over major migrations of white people in an exodus. And they say, oh, when you see that happening in Nigeria, too bad some of those poor blacks being moved around Nigeria haven't got a national PR organization that can do for them what other exodus groups have been able to do. No stones being thrown. I think there ought to be equal concern in each case. On the 21st of January, I just threw that in, 1977, the magazine Pacific Computer Weekly published an interesting article. A unique and complex modeling project, which was used to analyze the effects on Earth's atmosphere after the sun was removed, has created high interest worldwide. The project was undertaken by Barry Hunt, principal research scientist with the Australian Numerical and Meteorological Research Center. His study, which utilized the CSIRO's Cyber 76 in Canberra and the Department of Meteorology's Dual 360-65S in Melbourne, they're talking about computers, obtained the surprising conclusion that activity on the Earth would remain for longer than the textbook conclusions of about 10 days if the sun were to suddenly go out. His model and computer projection showed the Earth in some lifelike state even after 50 days of total darkness. His next project was to be one to analyze the effects of speeding and slowing the rotation of the Earth by a factor of 5. One must ask the obvious, which you're already asking if you haven't already tuned me off. Pyramid's coming somewhere, so I would, you know, you could bet on me. If I call later and everybody... nobody's calling. I won't talk about the pyramid till 1984. Why am I reading this stuff? Like that technical stuff last night, just to convince you that the guy had done his research and that Tesla wasn't any dummy, so that when the conclusions came, the gestalt was there. By cracky, you know, they are messing around a bit. I go for a gestalt. I don't expect you to write term paper. Why is there so much interest in this? Unless somebody's fooling around in such a way that they might risk some of these happenings. Why has there been such high-level interest in his project unless there was already some doubt in somebody's mind as to the duration of the sun's steady-state energy levels? Nobody at the present time, until unless they believe the Bible and God's going to do it eventually, and give me some air in here. Go turn the cooler on, Peter. Don't need you there. You can go turn it on. Getting hot. I must be making somebody mad. It's got the opposite antipode to where we are. Somebody's turned that machine on. It's heating up here. Last night, you need last night's tape to follow everything that I'm doing, or if you're watching on satellite, last week's tape. Nobody expects, unless they believe the Bible, where God's going to just remove the sun, that it'll all just disappear, and we're not going to have to face how long will the earth exist without the sun. The extremities of the computerized analysis is based upon, if you can deduce from the extremity, then you work backwards what might happen with a little bit of an upset. It's like deciding what'll kill you so you can back as far away from it as you can get. The West Australian Daily News of September 14, 1976 published an article entitled, What on Earth is Happening? A report written by Angus McPherson in London. It started, Planet Earth, it seems, is on the rampage. The earthquake barrage in the Far East probably has done more damage and killed more people in China than a nuclear attack. On the other side of the Pacific, with one major volcano erupting and another ready to go, it seems as if the whole Earth is about to blow up. Day after remorseless day of sunshine has burnt England as brown as the Arizona desert. Wave after wave of storm is driving the Pacific coast crazy, breathing sand and salt water. And this is only a part of a worldwide weather aberration that has brought drought, shriveled crops, and hungry livestock to Western Europe, the American Midwest, India, and Australia, and crazy things all over the United States. This year of drought and disaster, this was written in 76, has come when the spots on the sun are at a minimum. For one, I find it hard to see that as a coincidence, says Dr. John Gribben, one of Britain's astrophysicists we've already quoted. Records I've studied do seem to show that bursts of earthquake activity on Earth come when the sunspots, which fluctuate roughly every 11 years, are either at their maximum or their minimum. Now, this universe is designed to take stress. The Earth's spinning, and it is really a conglomerate of liquid. The Earth's moving fast. It's weaving and wobbling, and the sun, and the whole mess is moving, and the sun has got drags of pressure on it from all these spinners around it and all the rest of this wonderfully juggled balance system. And God, the great juggler, set it all in motion. And here comes some idiot planting a little pole on the rear end of something and an antipode on the head end of it, upsetting. I mean, it's designed to take so much stress. Now, increase the stress margins, which is what we talked about last night. Some idiot man government piddling around. You know, the world knows now what a nuclear bomb will do, what an atom bomb will do, and then figure out what a nuclear one will do, because we saw it worldwide for the first time in Japan. How long did the government scientists know what would happen before the world found out? While they experimented. Now, because the world has found out, everybody's trying to save the world with a myopic, single-minded vision in nuclear warfare. Same idiots that created that will create something else secretly to sneak up on us with. This holds, if a bomb can start a chain reaction, what do you think this can do? Somebody's fooling around. In just the past 2 years, after an exhaustive study, scientists at America's leading atmospheric research center at Boulder, Colorado, confirmed that they, that is, sunspots, did alter the weather. Now, let me tell you something. Give me that one. I'm up here spinning again with those balls on the end of my hand and rope. Put them all on one side, and I'm already pulled out of balance. Now, jab me with a needle on that side. Me and the balls are going to take off. If I got any feeling or brains, that's what's going to happen. Now, I practiced. I can take one out of so many thousand spins. When they all get on one side, I'm ready for it. I go around it, and then I get it back in balance again, just so happy. I can handle it. I figure about once every 26,000 years or every 12,000 years, I get the grind on me. And some dumb idiot sitting in a hole down there in Pine Gap jabs me when the stress is on. If I recover, I'm going to blow him out of his hole. Now, you got it? This is the interconnection between last night and tonight. Man sitting down here fiddling around with his podes and antipodes. Now, it's all right for me to have a television antipode on theological activity. All that does is irritate. But God designed this universe to stand so much stress for so long. Everybody has said, God's got to shorten the time at the end to keep man from destroying himself. And everybody says, atom bombs it. We could do it with chemical warfare. We could do it with this other kind of silly weather experimentation. Now, there's always been what I'm going to talk about right now. Certain times of stress that hit this old globe. And those times of stress are designed to withstand the stress if somebody doesn't jab them, in my corny illustration, at the wrong time, get it all lined up at the same time, we're in trouble. In just the past 2 years, research has definitely confirmed sunspots alter the weather. But what astronomer Carl Sagan has called the cosmic connection is well established, and the effects of the sun's next rash of spots, this was written about early 1980, the sun's next rash of spots, due to begin in about 1980, will be watched with fervor. Beginning 1980, 81, 82, 83, we are in a certain phase of stress. Now, by the way, Pyramid saw all of this, pinpointed it. The Bible saw all of it. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus talked of it, and much earlier. A convergence of happenings at the time of the end compressed into a 7-year period. 1975. Hawaii suffered 2 earthquakes and a new eruption of the volcano that island state is famous for. We're watching it on TV all the time. One of the quakes, which was 7.2 on the Richter scale, was the biggest earthquake to hit Hawaii in over 75 years. In January of 1976, Iceland was struck by a quake measuring 6.5 on the Richter scale. In January, more than 20 earthquakes were reported in the Pacific region near the Russian Kamchatka Peninsula, 1976. The event was the worst in 25 years. In October 76, many of you lived right through this and didn't put it in a cluster together. October 76, earthquakes and tremors hit Scotland and Guatemala. The death toll in Guatemala was over 22,000, while the injured numbered over 74,000. It left 1,300,000 people without homes. In May, the west coast of New Zealand's South Island suffered a quake at 7 on the scale, while one of only 6.5 clobbered northeastern Italy. When I get done, some of you are going to want to move off the San Andreas Fault. If you don't think man is as idiotic as Pharaoh, go look at the high rises in downtown Los Angeles and San Francisco. Most of them glass now. In May, the west coast of New Zealand, South Island, suffered a quake at 76, at 7 on the scale, while one of only 6.5 clobbered northeast Italy. Uzbek and the USSR suffered one at 7.2, and the Chinese-Burma border suffered one at 6.9. 76, all of this. In June, Papua New Guinea, can't get from New Zealand to New Guinea very quick. In June, Papua New Guinea received one at 7.2, while Erie and Jawa was hit at 7.1 on the scale. Bailey received one at 7. In July, China received hers, an absolute horror at 8.2 on the Richter scale. By December of 76, California residents were preparing for another big earthquake to hit them in April of 77. What they finally received was a 40,000 square kilometer bulge. It's almost certain that California will have one of the worst earthquakes in its history before the turn of the century. Well, I say that's sure of the world, because before the century turns, tribulation will be here when a third of the people of this earth are going to quake. It's just as amazing to find the Californians are still, this poor Australian couldn't figure this out, or he's writing in Australia, he's not an Australian, that Californians are still living right on top of the fault line like there was no tomorrow. Some idiot even has a land development scheme nicknamed the Fault Line Estates. That's, you ask me how to define the difference between faith and foolishness, there you got it. America has officially begun to prepare itself for earthquake disasters in the 9 most probable regions. Of the 9 regions, California is the only one which has spent any large amounts preparing the building and other edifices for the eventuality of a horrendous earthquake. This is what I read to you last night. Listen to this. Are we getting to the end? Something's messing this whole globe of ours up. Between the years 1897 and 1946, I want to tell you something. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of man. Included in the days of Noah was a breakup of the earth's crust. I'm going to tell you what I really believe. That caused the homeland of those original creatures, guided right out of the garden by God, Atlantis, to sink. Yeah, I'm not going to dangle you on that. I believe it was there. And it wasn't just off of Crete in the Mediterranean island. At the same time, half of Crete sunk. But Atlantis was right where the ocean that bears its name was, the Atlantic. And there was only water in one big ocean and one big landmass with lakes and bridges between, or rivers between. Now we're moving to a cluster of earthquakes that'll shake this old globe again. Between the years 1897 and 46, 3 earthquakes above Richter 6 occurred every 10 years. I read this last night. That's 50 years. The average was 3 per 10 years. Between 46 and 56, the average jumped to 7. Following decade, it jumped to 17. From 67 to 76, the following decade, there were 180 earthquakes over Richter 7 on the scale. Some of them, I'm sure, as a result of improved instrumentation. Nothing can, no way, instrumentation alone identified that big a jump in one decade. Now let's talk about sunspots and planets. Sunspots are actually holes ripped into the surface of the sun by magnetic storms deep inside the sun's multi-shelled core. Got that? Magnetic holes ripped. How do you rip a hole in something with a magnet? The magnetic force yanks it out. Sunspots are magnetic holes like that. Various factors can influence the propagation of these mysterious blemishes. When a star is young, am I boring you? When a star is young, its outer shell of hydrogen is very thick, so it's hard for a magnetic rip-out to occur because the outer shell of hydrogen that's burning is very thick. As a result, it is very seldom that such deep vortices of magnetic turbulence cause those visible black spots to appear. Because it's hard to magnetically rip a hole in the surface of burning hydrogen. There are, however, times even in the young and stable star that's burning like a freshly made fire, that a star's surface may be so disturbed as to show visible signs of magnetic turbulence. What was I talking about last night? Man-made magnetic electronic turbulence. Electromagnetic. If a large enough external body interacts or collides with the outer planetary or gravitic shells of a young star, it can create relatively brief but visible sunspots that the gravitic collision yanks off magnetically. Gravity has a magnetic appearance or effect, one or the other, as whatever gravity is. As a star grows older, it burns up its hydrogen fuel layer in the process of nuclear fission, which is what we worry about blowing the world up. So this hydrogen layer in nuclear fission burns up and gets weaker. So there's only so long that hydrogen will burn. It's not self-perpetuating forever. Well, you have dead stars out there. As a star grows older, burning up its hydrogen fuel layer, this means the hydrogen layer grows thinner and thinner as the star ages. As a result, it takes less and less in external forces to create visible signs of those ruptures in the hydrogen magnetic field. In the case of those stars which have planets occupying two or more of their gravitic shells, called orbits. Not every star has planets. But if a star that has its hydrogen shell affected by gravity pull has a bunch of planets that are always engaged in gravitic counterpull, the periodic motion of the planets themselves can affect sunspots. You're already ahead of me. They're all balanced going around. The pressure on that magnetic counterpull of the hydrogen shell remains rather constant. But you let them all start going around in such a way that all nine of them line up at once, you've got a sudden intensified gravitic pull on that hydrogen shell. Just like line up, all nine of them is pulling on me. Got that? The periodic motion of the planets, when they have them, can affect sunspot or star spots, if it's something other. We just happen to call our star the sun. Can affect sunspot activity after about half. Got it? Young star, I mean, just push it around just like young athletes. But you let half of the hydrogen life be burned off of that sun. Now you've got a thinner layer. And the same pull on the hydrogen layer by those spinning gravitic orbits of separate planets. You let them all come into sequence where suddenly, instead of a bunch of planets spinning around out here at various distances, you suddenly got them all lined up, or some of them lined up just like a baseball bat. Now you got a concentrated pull on that hydrogen shell. And if the star or sun is half burned up and it's thinned, as long as it's young, doesn't matter. Usually, its own planets won't affect it. Some other great pull would. But the periodic motion of the planets themselves, absent some other force, can affect sunspot activity after about half of the original hydrogen shell has been consumed. Our sun is one of those stars whose hydrogen supply is over the halfway mark, and whose orbital shells contain planets. As the nine charted planets, these we know about, of the sun all orbit the sun at different speeds, just like the Earth does, it is only infrequently by Earth time that all nine of the planets are somewhere on the same side of the sun at the same time. It's even more infrequent. It's very infrequent that they're all nine on the same side going around like a cluster out there. Even more infrequent that all nine form the straight line I just drew to where they're all lined up just like a bunch of pool balls, 1 to 9 on the same side. In fact, there's hundreds of thousands of years between such events. If you think the precessional of lining these stars up every 26,000 years occurs, hundreds of thousands of years be involved normally to line them up. Yet partial alignments do occur much more frequently, and certain imbalances in the spin of the entire solar system are manifested when they line up. Can I keep going? Now, one of my favorite authors that I haven't yet gotten to, and he just has blown the scientific world sideways. He's just really blown them up. Dr. Emanuel Velikovsky. He's the guy that wrote Worlds in Collision. He wrote Worlds in Collision after he had started the one about the Earth and chaos, Ages and Chaos, in which he showed certain scientific things that were happening at the time the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Now, Velikovsky's just blown the scientific world apart because he says they all assume something that isn't true. You talk about faithers. Religion people are not faithers. Scientists are. Nobody practices an unfounded faith like scientists. They have faith in something that's never been proven. And in terms of the years they talk about hundreds of billions of years. And they use their authority for projecting hundreds of billions of years, 2,000 or 3,000 on this earth. And because things have happened at a certain rate of speed over a recorded period of 2,000 or 3,000 years on this earth, they assume everything's always gone at the same rate of speed for hundreds of billions of years. Now, how's that for faith? That's about as far-fetched as me taking a ball of snot and conjecturing a man. I got to wake you up. And I do that, as I said, once a week to make my mother and dad proud of me. But what I just said is true. About that sensible. Velikovsky just blew them apart. He said, this earth has had many cataclysms, which is exactly what that wise man from Egypt told Plato and his fellow Greeks when he talked about Atlantis. Scientific figures projected backwards and forwards only work if things always were as they are and will always be as they are. Cataclysms have struck this earth that change the time plans. And science has never been able to blow apart Velikovsky's theories. You ought to read his Worlds in Collision. I'll get to it, so you don't have to. Dr. Emmanuel Velikovsky talked about the solar system and he, in essence, agrees with the principle that when these planets get in alignment, the universe is like a balanced atom on a large scale and suddenly imbalance occurs. Velikovsky was a regular correspondent with and visitor to the late Dr. Albert Einstein, who eventually died with one of Dr. Velikovsky's early manuscripts open on his desk. It was Dr. Velikovsky who quoted a most enlightening statement from an article in the April 15, 1951 edition of the New York Times in his own book, Earth and Upheaval. The article reported, quote, the evidence, or rather it quoted evidence, of a strange and unexplained correlation between the positions of Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars in their orbits around the sun, three of the nine lining up, and the presence of violent electrical disturbances in the Earth's upper atmosphere seems to indicate that the planets and the sun share in a cosmic electrical balance mechanism that extends a billion miles from the center of our solar system. Such electrical balance is not accounted for in current astrophysical theories. Now, this past week you've seen what happens when moon tidal waves came in. Some people never even figured out when these tides were hitting the coast. It's always been assumed that the tides that are created by the moon are the strong ones. But Velikovsky went on to say, by 1953, the strange fact was established that the solar tides, the same kind of thing that lifts up that water and moves it in the gravitational pull and those relationships between the moon and the earth as it goes around, solar tides in the atmosphere that reaches out there billions of miles in the Earth's up. What is a tide? Tide's called by gravity. Gravitational collision that pulls it along. Now, solar tides exist. Velikovsky says, established that solar tides in the Earth's upper atmosphere are 16 times more powerful than the lunar tides in the atmosphere. A fact in complete conflict with the tidal theory. I love to see scientists blown apart in their theories. According to which the action of the moon on oceanic tides is several times more powerful than that of the sun. Scientists have been saying the moon's more powerful than the sun. In that tidal sense. The 50-fold discrepancy is still without an acceptable explanation. Now, an undeniable set of circumstances. Can I keep going? I'd like to finish this. You want me to wait till tomorrow? An undeniable set of circumstances now presents itself to the people of Earth. The sun is entering into a transitional stage. which is allowing the increasingly eccentric alignment of its nine planets. All of a sudden, we're entering into a stage where there's an increasingly eccentric alignment of these nine planets to affect abnormal magnetic and electromagnetic storms on its surface, the sun's surface, that is. So here, when I've got my spin going and finally they're all starting to line up on the other end, here's somebody down Pine Gap jabbing me just when I'm going out of balance. These storms that such eccentric alignment will cause in stress on the sun's hydrogen surface that will explode in this magnetic collision. These storms, evidenced by the extremely high number of sunspots, are sending increasingly more violent sprays of charged particles and short wavelength radiations outward to collide with all the planets in a form called the solar wind by NASA technicians. This explosion outward from the eccentric alignment of the cluster of these planets that's sucking at the sun, as the sun is sucking at us to keep us in our spin orbit. All of a sudden, violent sprays of short wavelength radiations are shooting out of the sun until NASA technicians call it a solar wind. This solar wind of great energy density can increase or decrease the spin rate of the Earth in its orbit. Just like if you're spinning and you run into a 60-mile wind, it affects your spin. Hence, it can change the length of the Earth's day. You don't think God can... We're beginning to see some of the things that the book of Revelation talks about during tribulation. All he's got to do is just snap his finger and bang, here comes a spit off the sun. And the days change. This solar wind has already been responsible for creating ionospheric tornadoes, which caused the Skylab space station to prematurely drop from its correct orbit to one which eventually resulted in its crashing down to Earth. The increased solar wind was blamed on abnormally high sunspot activity accompanying the 1980 arrival of the peak of the current, an 11-year sunspot cycle has just started. Now, it seems to me like there were some interesting figures when the Times pushed us into that date that's possibly the time the Feast of the Trumpets will blow and he'll lift us home. Then comes 7 years of tribulation. If the dates are right, it's going to occur during this 11-year sunspot cycle or toward the tail end of it. The biggest solar flare since 1968 occurred in May of 1978. He was writing in 80. Its size was over 50 times the surface area of the Earth, a blast out of the sun, 50 times the size of the Earth. The resulting solar wind started pushing. How would you like to be riding a Skylab when that one hits the... The resulting radio frequency and high-speed particle bombardments of Earth caused widespread shortwave radio communication disruptions. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Boulder, Colorado, reported that the U.S. Coast Guard had lost all radio communication with its ships in the Atlantic while the initial flare effects continued. Now remember, here is the Earth and the sun and the planets interacting with stress that God created the margins of tolerance for. And then some idiot down here jabbing little things up in the air, upsetting it here to compound the collision. 2.5 months later, after that loss of communication, a huge sunspot formed on the sun. The previous flare had receded, leaving a thin area on the sun's surface. Then the relatively high planetary alignment effect in the July-September period of 1978 triggered such an intense, just three planets, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, created such an intense magnetic storm on the sun that a sunspot over 3,900,000,000 square kilometers formed. That's bigger than the living room of Doc's pad. Becoming the biggest since 1947, but five times the size of the one in 1947. My Lord. This sunspot steadily grew in size. Almost doubled its initial size. That'd be 7,800,000,000 square kilometers in a few short months. It temporarily reduced the visible light and heat effects on the sun by 2% on the visible disk. Over 20 million highly charged particles were bombarding Earth each second as a result of this huge sunspot. And you tell me that what God describes in the book of Revelation can't be turned loose with just a little manipulation? Over 200,000 highly charged particles, short wavelength radiations, were bombarding Earth each second as a result of this huge sunspot. And Joe, hey Joe, and some SCC's technician happens to be monitoring a television broadcast at that time, keeps the poor television station on the racks for a year. How am I doing?
Great.
Seen engineers sit around, thank God I don't have them like that. They got to get just a perfect picture, and a seagull flies by and does something unspeakable, and the whole picture is fouled up. What do you think these particles would do? See, it's 10 after 11. I got to keep you awake. Back there in New England, it's 10 after 2. Now we know what the major factor had to include, at least, in causing the 1978 Indian floods and the absolutely disastrous summers of the late 70s in Europe, Australia, and many other places. Now what's happening? A news report by Bruce Sandham in the Brisbane Sunday Mail Colour of November 5, 1978 had these things to say about the sunspot. These enormous emissions of those shortwave radiation particles from the sun can have a profound effect on the way humans react, says Dr. Michael Gauquelin, Director of Cosmic Research at Francis Strasbourg University. This sunspot activity is causing massive ionization, which can have dramatic influence on our behavior, he explains. Some areas of the human body contain a positive charge of electricity. You all know that. Others a negative one. So the arrival of electromagnetic waves from the sun can seriously upset the delicate balance between the two. Dr. Gauquelin continued, the invasion of a human cell by a virus is virtually an electrical reaction. Normally, the virus and the living cell carry a charge of negative ions. Thus, the virus is repelled and can't enter the cell. When something happens to the body and the cell's charge switches from negative to positive, then the virus is free to enter. This something that could reverse the circuitry could be the disturbance caused by such solar activity or those other idiots with their podes and antipodes.
This is the end of Side 3. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over to Side 4. Thank you.